Recording by Laurel Anderson. A Garland for Girls by Louisa May Alcott. Chapter 1. Mayflowers. Being Boston girls, of course they got up a club for mental improvement, and as they were all descendants of the Pilgrim Fathers, they called it the Mayflower Club. A very good name, and the six young girls who were members of it made a very pretty posy when they met together once a week to sew and read well-chosen books. At the first meeting of the season, after being separated all summer, there was a good deal of gossip to be attended to before the question, "What shall we read?" came up for serious discussion. Anna Winslow, as president, began by proposing Happy Dodd, but a chorus of, "I've read it," made her turn to her list for another title. Prisoners of Poverty is all about working women, very true and very sad, but Mama said it might do us good to know something of the hard times other girls have, said Anna soberly, for she was a thoughtful creature, very anxious to do her duty in all ways. "I'd rather not know about sad things, since I can't help to make them any better," answered Ella Carver, softly patting the apple blossoms she was embroidering on a bit of blue satin. "But we might help if we really tried, I suppose. You know how much Happy Dodd did when she once began, and she was only a poor little girl, without half the means of doing good which we have," said Anna, glad to discuss the matter, for she had a little plan in her head and wanted to prepare a way for proposing it. "Yes, I'm always saying that I have more than my share of fun and comfort and pretty things, and that I ought and will share them with someone, but I don't do it, and now and then, when I hear about real poverty or dreadful sickness, I feel so wicked it quite upsets me. If I knew how to begin, I really would. But dirty little children don't come in my way, nor tipsy women to be reformed, nor nice lame girls to sing and pray with, as it all happens in books," cried Marion Warren, with such a remorseful expression on her merry round face that her mates laughed with one accord. "I know something that I could do if I only had the courage to begin it. But Papa would shake his head unbelievingly, and Mama worry about its being proper, and it would interfere with my music, and everything nice that I especially wanted to go to would be sure to come on whatever day I set for my good work, and I should get discouraged or ashamed and not half do it, so I don't begin, but I know I ought." And Elizabeth Alden rolled her large eyes from one friend to another, as if appealing to them to goad her to this duty by counsel and encouragement of some sort. "Well, I suppose it's right, but I do perfectly hate to go poking round among poor folks, smelling bad smells, seeing dreadful sights, hearing woeful tales, and running the risk of catching fever and diphtheria and horrid things. I don't pretend to like charity, but say right out I'm a silly, selfish wretch, and want to enjoy every minute and not worry about other people. Isn't it shameful?" Maggie Bradford looked such a sweet little sinner as she boldly made this sad confession that no one could scold her, though Ida Standish, her bosom friend, shook her head, and Anna said, with a sigh, "I'm afraid we all feel very much as Maggie does, though we don't own it so honestly. Last spring, when I was ill and I thought I might die, I was so ashamed of my idle, frivolous winter that I felt I'd give all I had to be able to live it over and do better. Much is not expected of a girl of 18, I know, but oh, there were heaps of kind little things I might have done if I hadn't thought only of myself. I resolved if I lived, I'd try at least to be less selfish, and make someone happier for my being in the world. I tell you, girls, it's rather solemn when you lie expecting to die, and your sins come up before you, even though they are very small ones. I never shall forget it, and after my lovely summer I mean to be a better girl, and lead a better life if I can." Anna was so much in earnest that her words, straight out of a very innocent and contrite heart, touched her hearers deeply, and put them in the right mood to embrace her proposition. No one spoke for a moment, then Maggie said quietly, "I know what it is. I felt very much so when the horses ran away, and for 15 minutes I sat clinging to Mama, expecting to be killed. Every unkind, undutiful word I had ever said to her came back to me, and was worse to bear than the fear of sudden death. It scared a great deal of naughtiness out of me, and dear Mama and I have been more to each other ever since." "Let us begin with the Prisoners of Poverty, and perhaps it will show us something to do," said Lizzie. "But I must say I never felt as if shop girls needed much help. They generally seem so contented with themselves and so pert or patronizing to us that I don't pity them a bit, though it must be a hard life." "I think we can't do much in that direction, except set an example of good manners when we go shopping. I want to propose that we each choose some small charity for this winter and do it